And now it's time for the Coaches Show with Sterling head coach Clint Wiley on WSHS Sterling High School Radio with your hosts Rob Strauss and Tad Kozineski. And welcome to another edition of the Coaches Show right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. We took a one-week hiatus because of the Teachers Convention, but we are back. Rob Strauss, Tad Kozineski, and as always, Sterling head football coach Clint Wiley. Coach, again, welcome to the show for the ninth time this season.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate everything you guys do for Sterling football.
Real quick, a little bit about the Woodbury game. Mm-hmm. Going back last Saturday afternoon, a unique 10:30 a.m. start time. Yep. And a beautiful facility there, at least from the press box standpoint. How did the game shake out? We didn't know what to make of Woodbury. They play in the other on the other half of that Colonial Conference schedule. What were your thoughts on some of that, on the game on Saturday?
I really enjoyed the Saturday start at 10:30 because it brought me back to those college days. We always played on Saturday, but it's an extra day of preparation for our coaches, an extra preparation day for our players. So it gave us an extra practice than, you know, trying to squeeze everything in on a Friday. So I really enjoyed it. I think we did a good job with our kids of practice time, getting film session in. And I thought our kids were very well prepared for the game. And it showed. You know, and I thought our kids came. I thought our kids were focused. It was a business-like trip. And our kids came out and played very well.
It's got to feel good. Yeah, another team you crossed off the list.
Yep.
And that's the most emotional I've seen you after the game. Talk a little about that. You seem
very it's really emotional because, like we always talk about, last year, our theme this year was the finish. And Woodbury is one of those games, just like Haddonfield is one of those games that we said, hey, we got to get this year. And, you know, we showed that film, that play, that last play with 2 seconds ago right here, you know, at Sterling Football Field with them scoring, them celebrating, their cheerleaders, their coaching staff, their players celebrating on our field. And we watched that a million times this week. And I think it motivated our kids. And like we always said, you had an opportunity. We didn't seek that opportunity. But this year we're going to have a second opportunity. And that should have been the log that was burning inside of you for 365 days to have that opportunity to play Woodbury again. And I think our kids bought into that. Now, when you talk about emotion, Tad, you know, it's great for these kids to be able to be 7-1. When's the last time Sterling High School football has been 7-1 right here? 1993, I believe. And, you know, that's what it's about. I mean, you got to visualize and you got to think about where this team was at. When I took over this program, they won five games in 4 years combined. You know, this is a program that was 0-10. This was a program that was down. These were kids who bought into the philosophy when we came in here. We're changing the mindset. We're going to win a championship here. I can't promise you when it's going to happen, but we're going to win one here, and you just got to lead. You got to get on my bus, and you got to go. And these kids came in here as freshmen, and they were sophomores and freshmen at the time. The seniors were sophomores and the juniors were freshmen. And they bought into our philosophy. And they've done everything we've asked. So, and then plus, as a coach, you put your heart and soul into this. I tell people all the time, the most important thing in my life is my family, my wife and my kids, and football. And that's it. I don't have any other hobbies in life. I worry about my family and football, and I put my heart and soul into this Sterling football program. And it's rewarding when you put all that time and effort away and you cheat your kids sometime, my own personal family, being away from them, into this. All that hard work pays off because when you see a smile on a 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old young man that really believes in you and they get to celebrate and believe everything that you preach to them, and now they're being rewarded by that. Because there's a lot of times where you're giving a lot of lip service and you got to hope the guys just believe in you. And hopefully now the rewards of the victories are here to call, you know, for us to celebrate those. And that's what makes it so rewarding. That's why it was an emotional time for me. Because I put a lot of time into this. I mean, the kids understand it. It's like anything else. I think you got a chance to be successful in life if you put your heart and soul into anything you do. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to build young men to prepare them for life after high school. And no matter what field you go into, if it's college or just the everyday life, you want to go out and work, you put your heart and soul into it, and good things are going to happen to you. You surround yourself with good people and you put your heart and soul and you work at it, and you'll be all right. And that's what we're trying to preach to those kids. And that's why, you know, it was an emotional day. Great day, because I thought our kids came out and played very, very physical, and it was a business-like trip.
Coach, take us back to the first drive of the game. Mm-hmm. We receive the ball. You guys go on an 8-9 minute drive to start the game and score. and really set the tone there thanks to the help of Devon Tucker and some of your running backs in the backfield. How important was it for you guys to get off the block early and set that long scoring drive and maintain that throughout the day? It seemed like the ground game was really working for you all
day. It was, and it all starts with our offensive line. I thought our offensive line did a great job of executing their blocks. I thought by far was our best game up front. Of like us executing and finishing blocks. You know, in the past we've been getting on guys, but we weren't finishing the blocks. And I thought our running backs did a good job of reading the blocks and then hitting the holes when they were there. But that was a great drive for us to set the tone, and also to let Woodbury know, hey, we're going to be physical. We're not here messing around today. We really want to come after you guys. And that was a great drive. We had three or four different guys carrying the ball, and our offense line did a great job at executing all that stuff.
You did a great job with the passing game because Woodbury knew, for the most part, you're going to run. I believe you called three pass plays. You completed two of them, and it was just enough. It was exactly mm-hmm. what you needed.
Yeah, Matt did a great job of executing and managing our game. Matt also did a great job of running the ball. We had a couple run mm-hmm. plays called for Matt, mm-hmm. and Matt did a great job of hitting a hole and tucking the ball away and running. You know, our kids play well. The thing is, I thought we were physical up front, offensively and defensively, you know, because Woodbury came into the game, and basically they're very athletic, probably a little bit more athletic than us, and they like to run the ball. But I thought our kids did a great job getting off blocks, tackling well in space, and Woodbury put the white flag up early and started throwing the ball on us, and I thought we did a pretty good job of defending them.
Special teams-wise, we actually have a question from one of my students who was checking out this, and we're going to hand it over to John Krause right now. He's got a question about Jurgen Boca.
Yeah, my man.
I was wondering why did it take so long for you to take a field goal with him?
All right. Well, Jurgen, I would say that would probably was our first opportunity to use Jurgen. We probably could have used Jurgen late in the West Effort game, if you recall. We had the ball down on, I think, their 10-yard line with about a minute left in the game. And you know what? Those were one of those after the fact as a coach. I said, man, I probably should have kicked the field goal there. I mean, I think the game at the time was 35-7. And I tried to still hit two slants and score a touchdown. But Jurgen's a kid. Oh, man, you love this kid. I mean, he works hard every day. He comes out and he does what we asked. He's really improved with his field goals and his kickoffs. And, you know, I would say a little bit, my problem is, as a coach, I always want to score touchdowns, and 3 points are just as good as a touchdown sometimes. Mm-hmm. And if you recall, in the game, it was fourth and about five. We had our offense still on the field because I wanted to go for it. Okay. I always think in my mind, we can get 5-6 yards, but it's not always the smartest thing. And my coaching staff did a great job getting into my ear and saying, hey, we need to kick a field goal here. And then I called a timeout, and then I reevaluated the situation and sent them out there. And Jurgen did a great job of hitting. And for us to be 10-0 was pretty good.
All right, now, so we're in the playoffs, and a lot of times that phase of the game yep. can be the difference. So let's say it's, we're late in the game, it's kind of do or die, we're down by less than three. What's a comfortable kick for you where if we line it up to try a field goal, what's a comfortable distance based on what you've seen in practice?
Oh, yeah, 20 yards and in. 20 yards and in.
So the ball
if it's 20, ball's on a 20, I'm going to go for it. It's a 37-yard field goal for him. He can hit that. He has a strong lay.
Wow.
He's very confident. Matter of fact, yesterday he hit one from 37 the other day of practice. So he has the leg strength. He has the confidence. I won't hesitate putting him out there. The biggest thing is for me, depending on where the game's at and all that stuff, do we need seven or do we need three? And in a game like this tonight, I mean, 3 points may be the difference in the game. Because I always say this, all games, every game's a big game because mm-hmm. it's your next game. But when the big games come up, it really comes down to special teams. If you ever look at it, there's a difference of 1, 2, 3 points, and normally comes back to special teams. So that could be a huge difference in tonight's game.
What the high school rule, if you line it up on the 20 and you go to kick it and you miss it, where's the ball go?
20.
Goes back to the 20 original line.
Anything inside, and then it comes back out to the 20.
Okay, good.
Got another question from Haley Cooper, who is on our girls' volleyball team. Heading
yep.
up to the
one of my students. She does a great job in class, works hard.
Heading over to the state final. Good luck tomorrow in that. Haley, go ahead.
You're 8 games into the season. Which player or players have surprised you the most?
Great question. Well, I would say by far Magnus Connor, the senior, linebacker, offensive tackle, who's really a tight end. I mentioned before on the show. Magnus is a kid who was a JV player last year as a junior, was a backup role player who bought into the philosophy, worked hard. Hey, when you get your opportunity, step up, make the most of it. And Magnus really stepped up on the defensive side of the ball and had a great year for us at the linebacker position. The sad thing is we lost him 2 weeks ago with a knee injury, and hopefully he may be back by next week. But Magnus is a kid who really stepped up, and it's great to see a senior like that who's worked hard and bought into the philosophy and also get a chance to go out there and make plays. But he had a great year that was I had a lot of question marks regarding Magnus. And then he's another kid who also, we need an offensive tackle. Without hesitation, he went out there and played offensive tackle for us. But he's a kid who's played well. There's a lot of kids that stepped up. I mean, I think Matt Dockery as a senior stepped up. He was a starter last year, but we asked him to play a little bit of nose guard and go both ways this year. And he's had a great last three games on the defensive side. He's manhandled their center, which has really helped us on the defensive side. You can go through the roster and look at a lot of kids have really stepped up, because I'm going to say this again. This is a team that lost nine starters on defense. We lost nine starters on defense last year that were good football players. And then on offensive side, we lost 7 to 8 starters. So there was a lot of question marks coming into this season. And the thing is, these kids keep developing, keep believing into our philosophy. You got to get involved in other sports. You got to lift weights. And it's a year-round commitment. And so going into this season was a huge question mark about starting football. You know, what direction we're going to go. And these young kids have stepped up. And the nice thing for the future of this football, we're going to lose about 3-4 kids on this football team, which is nice.
I don't know how you can answer this one, but I'm going to throw this question out at you. Before we went into – we're early in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Up to week 8, what were your realistic expectations of this team? Because we had a lot of questions.
Yeah, we had questions.
What was a realistic expectation for this team?
Well, we were 5-5 last year, went to the playoffs for the first time. I was hoping that we could get back to the playoffs. I was hoping that we could get just try to improve week to week. I know it sounds like coach talk, but you're looking at the schedule. You're looking at a team maybe 4-4, 5-3. You know, when you look at the schedule, you know, we all look at the schedule in July and say, oh, mm-hmm. okay, maybe this count this one as a win, count this one mm-hmm. as a win. But you really don't know. And but I would say we were about a 4-4, 5-3 team because, you know, there was a lot of question marks. I mean, we lost a lot of good high school football players from a year ago. But the difference was this year, this is a Sterling football team. It's a team. It's not individuals. And we're not as talented as we were a year ago, but these guys bought into the team. And like I say, in any sport, you can beat individuals if you have a solid football team, if you have a solid team. You know, and that's what's impressed me the most is these guys buying into our philosophy offensively, defensively, and special teams, and working on getting bigger, stronger, faster, and improving week in and week out. You know, I mean, I thought we were hitting it pretty well throughout the course of the season. And then that Overbrook game, we took a couple steps back. Gateway game with Sasso. So you're trying to find out the identity of this team, where you're going, what direction you're going to go. And I walked away Saturday feeling really good about this team because it was a different mindset, different focus to that team. It was more of a business trip, and that's what we've been preaching all week. This is a business trip. We got a chance right now to write our own history here. They got an opportunity. So like we talked to them last night, you know, you got a chance right now to share this story with your kids, your future wife, your family, 10, 20 years from now, that, hey, this is what you brought Sterling back. You won a playoff game. Now you're going to the semifinals. I mean, this is the opportunity you have. You're writing your own little chapter, your book of your life. What are you going to do? What's this chapter going to be about at Woodstown? And that's what it's about tonight, us going out, playing together as a team, business-like trip. And if we come out and play like we're capable of playing, like we did against Woodbury, I think it should be a great game tonight.
Coach, what do you think about the draw that Sterling got? There was a big question going into the playoff and how it was going to be, the brackets were going to shake out mm-hmm. in terms of the seedings.
Yeah.
Initially, Friday night, going into Saturday, a game against Woodbury, we thought we were going to be traveling to Camden. We were talking about that in the booth. All of a sudden, things shift a little bit, yeah. And now all of a sudden, Sterling is drawing Woodstown in the first round, and West Deptford all the way down to a 4 seed.
Yeah.
How do you feel that the road to the Group 2 finals in the South Division shapes up for Sterling High School?
Well, for Sterling High School, I think we're very lucky and fortunate to be in the position we are in. And what I mean by that is, one, we're lucky and fortunate to be in the playoffs. Number two, we're playing a really good Woodstown team, and then we played a winner of a Cinnaminson Bridgeton team, who are all great coached football teams. But there's two teams that are different than anybody else in this league, and that's Camden and West Stafford. Those are the two best teams I've seen. And I haven't seen Bridgeton, the only other team I haven't watched in person or on tape, that I think are just a little bit above everybody else. And just never knowing who you're going to play is last Thursday, I drove all the way down, coaches and I, we drove all the way down to Woodstown and watched Woodstown play Shalik. And then Friday night, we're up at Bordentown watching Cinnamons and Bordentown. We leave that game at halftime to drive down to Bishop Eustis to watch Camden play. You know, Friday night, I catch the second half of that game. But I think we're very lucky and fortunate to be where we're at. But the biggest hurdle was just getting into the playoffs. If you get a chance to get into the playoffs, then it's up to you. It's eight teams left. I mentioned this 2 weeks ago on the show. You just want an opportunity. You want to get into the game, and I just want to play somebody outside our conference. So I got what I wanted. You know, I just want to go out and play somebody different than Haddonfield, West Stafford, you know, in the playoffs. And then we'll find out, because everybody always preaches, oh, this conference better than the other conference and this conference is that. Well, we got an opportunity to find out how our conference compares up against Woodstown's conference.
You just mentioned that you went to go check out Woodstown. Mm-hmm. What do we expect from what kind of team? I'm looking at the stats. Yeah. Two very, very similar teams, same offensive points per game, very similar in defensive points per game. Not really much. They pass a little bit more than we do. But it seems like they're more of a run-first team, similar to us.
Yep.
What do we expect out of this Woodstown team tonight?
Well, first of all, they're a well-coached team. They're going to run the same exact offense that we saw against Woodbury. Now, the difference between Woodbury and Woodstown is Woodstown has bigger, stronger kids up front. Okay, they do a really good job of blocking. Woodbury was a little bit young up front. But they're running a triple option. They're going to run the same. Just like you, if you were watching Navy, Army, Air Force, they're going to run a triple option. So their offense is based on midline, triple option, the toss play.
So it's going to be confusing for us broadcasters.
Correct. It is. Correct. You're exactly right. And they're a run team. The difference between them and Woodbury, they're not going to throw out the white flag and start throwing the ball all over the place. They're going to try to keep running the ball and do what they do. Defensively, they're a five-man front, cover two team. Their kids play they play fast and they're physical and they play hard. It's a team. They're 8-0. They've won some close games. I mean, they're playing Pennsville. They're down 17-0 with 6 minutes to go in the game. They find a way to win the game with 21-7 with 40 seconds to go in the game. 2 weeks ago against Gloucester City, you know, they score at the end to win the game, 21-14. You know, so this is a team that's been in close football games that's been able to win those games. So it should be a great matchup. So you're going to see two teams, hopefully, trying to flex their muscles on one another and see who can win.
Another town hall question, this time from Emily Diutolo, who is standing by with a question. Go ahead.
Hold on. You forgot to mention about her in her cross-country.
Right. Cross-country.
She just finished. Well, another young lady in my class. Yep. Did a great job.
She's fast.
She is fast.
What do you anticipate to be the biggest challenge of tonight's game?
The biggest challenge of tonight's game is defending their offense and eliminating the big plays. Their team speed with them running the offense, they're going to run the offense a lot faster than our scout team did this week. But the good thing is for us, we just faced Woodbury, Woodbury just ran the same offense. But tonight, it's really just defensively not eliminating the big plays. Like I said to the kids, they can let them drive the ball 70 yards down the field and score a touchdown. They do, hey, great job by them. But we can't give up the home run hit. We can't give up the one run for 60 yards. Can't give up the one pass for 60 yards. So if we can eliminate, let them drive the field, and then they're going to get yards. Like I told the kids, they're going to get yards. It's going to be like a bend but don't break mindset. But the biggest thing about the triple option and the offense they're running, you got to put them behind schedule. So at the end of the day, we got to get some minus yard plays. So if they get a first down, park it, move on to the next play. We got to try to get them minus yards there. If we get them behind the yards, then we got a chance to stop them at series, and they got to punt the ball. But that's the biggest thing defensively, seeing how we respond.
Can you give me two numbers, two featured players when they have the ball on offense? Who should we watch as
their fans? Their quarterback and fullback. Their quarterback and fullback is who they're going to give the ball to. They switched this quarterback probably about 3-4 weeks ago. He's more of an athletic type kid. Number 15 is their quarterback, and then their fullback, they use two guys, 21 and 22. And then they also got the two slots that are home run hitters also.
Do they have one guy or two guys that you say to your kids, we have to know where this guy is, or is it a combination?
Yeah, they have there's a kid, jersey number three, who's a really good football player, but he's been out the last 2 weeks, and I hear he's trying to come back for our game because of injury-wise. But he's a home run hitter. He's a kid at the slot. But at the end of the day, when you're defending this type of offense, you have to stop the fullback, and you got to stop, and you got to stop the quarterback. And Fisher DeBerry used to be the head coach of Air Force. He always said, who ran this offense, you got to stop the fullback. At the end of the day, you got to stop the fullback. So it's just like anything. So if we can stop the fullback and the quarterback, we may have a shot.
I guess I use some sprints, Coach. Sorry about that phone distraction there.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, we're trying to stop the fullback like you're trying to stop that phone from ringing. And I didn't want to say that online, but I mean, on air. But, you know,
I can't stop it.
Like, you're trying to stop.
He's a popular guy.
I hope I'm not saying the same thing. I can't stop this fullback tonight. Can't stop this fullback.
But, I mean, again, looking into tonight's game, you have a favorable matchup tonight. And were you looking to not play? I mean, you mentioned that you didn't want to play anybody in the Colonial Conference. And
right.
That's the case.
Mm-hmm. I'll play them any other time, but not in the first round. I just want to get out and play against somebody else, and then we'll play. We'll play Haddonfield, we'll play West Everett, we'll play Camden. But we'll wait, hopefully play them in a championship game.
What first-round matchup do you think is going to be the most intriguing or the one to watch? Other than tonight's game, which one do you kind of have your eyes on that you think
would
be?
I would say for us, Sterling High School, I mean, just the outcome of the Cinnamon-Minson Bridgestein game, because that's hopefully we win tonight. That's who we're going to play. But I think the best game overall is going to be at Haddonfield West Effort game. You know, those two teams are two powerhouses, South Jersey, Group 2, and then playing again. I'm anxious to see who's going to win that game.
Haddonfield have any shot in that game?
Yeah, they always have a shot. They're a well-coached team that plays hard, and they throw the ball. And that's the key against West Effort. You got to be able to throw the ball a little bit, but you got to stop their offense. But I know West Effort, Clyde does a great job over there, and they're healthy. And, you know, there's no I don't know. I don't think they're really good friends over there at Haddonfield and West Effort, you know, with all the big battles they've had. So there's a little dislike between the two, and I think it'll be a big game at West Effort.
Any offensive, defensive changes? Are we going pretty much what we've seen? If you've watched the 8 games this year, this is what Sterling's going to show. Are there any little twists that we might see today?
No, not at all. I think we're going to come out and try to execute the run game like we have, and hopefully play solid defense. That's the key, and hopefully our kicking game makes a difference, and hopefully we can come back with the victory and make Sterling football, this high school, this community, really proud of these young men who've worked so hard for so long, and hopefully be recognized.
Any injuries that we should be aware of? I know Devon Tucker battling that high ankle sprain majority of the season. Is that bothering him, or is there any other players that are injured that we should be aware of?
No, I mean, we lost Sammy. He's out, the freshman linebacker. He's been out for 2 weeks with his shoulder since the Gateway. Magnus is out. But hopefully those guys will be back hopefully in a week or two. Other than that, I think we're fine. We're solid. I didn't know Devon Tucker was hurt. See, the biggest thing about injuries is it's all mental. You just got to block it out and keep playing hard. I know he had back his cleats are all ripped up, so he went out and got new shoes, so hopefully that will make him run a little bit faster.
he seems to be able to battle through it. I mean, there's been a couple games he's been down two and three times.
Like I told him, you'll be healthy 2 weeks after the football season. That's the honest God truth. When you start playing football in August, you're going to get banged up. You're going to get nicked around. You're going to have injuries, especially an ankle injury is going to bother you throughout the course of the year. In 2 weeks when the season's over, you'll be healthy again. And that's what it's about. That's why these life lessons they learned on that football field, pushing through mental toughness of getting through an injury, is going to help them later on in life. And that's what it's about. When you be able to push through some difficult times because of your mental toughness that you learned on the football field, is going to help you be successful in life. And that's what we're trying to preach here.
Coach is real focused here. Coach gets a call. He's got it in half a second.
If we take nothing else out of this broadcast, we now learned your text tone and now Coach's text tone. I'm the only one that should have my – somebody text me.
Good. How do you get that quick? That's impressive. Jeez.
So that's going to – and with that note, because you obviously have phone calls to answer and Coach has phone calls to answer, we'll wrap up this edition of the Coach's Show. Coach, best of luck tonight against Woodstown and worst-case scenario. Obviously, we'd like a win, and we'll see you next week for another edition.
Hey, I appreciate everything you guys do. We're very lucky and fortunate to have you guys, and thanks for all your support. Go Knights.
All right, thanks, Coach. That'll do it, Ted. Go answer some phone calls, would you?
Thank you.
Game time coming up just in about a few minutes here on Sterling High School Radio. That's going to do it for the Coach's Show. Thanks again to Coach Wiley, Ted Kozineski. I'm Rob Strauss. Game time set for just a few minutes from now. Stay tuned.
Good rebound by Terry Crisman. Looks like he's fouled there. Puts up a desperation shot.
And he goes in! It's good! It's good!
Sterling upsets the Delsey Crusaders.
You have got to be kidding.
First and goal from the four. Preston Harrison going to run out. He's 4 yards away from pay dirt. Passes it complete. The touchdown. Marcus Taylor from Preston Harrison.
They got to shoot it. Kylie, shot.
Sterling trying to slam it home.
Sanchez got hurt! Sterling, the blue crew chin of Volleyball.
Connor Walsh inbounds to Marcus Taylor. 5 seconds left to go. Marcus Taylor all the way up the floor. Takes a shot. And it's good! Marcus Taylor at the buzzer! And it's over! Marcus Taylor hits a shot at the buzzer. Sterling wins 50-49.
5 seconds left, tied at 52. The inbound, Schmitz got it.
Got it! He got it! To win the ball game, Paige Smith!
And now, Sterling Radio presents live coverage of Sterling High School sports right here on the one and only WSHS, Sterling High School Radio.